What's up, Ivan?
Not much, buddy. How are you?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't know the whole behind the scenes thing. They just think, like, go to the show, click on the latest show, listen to it. But there's a whole world behind it. You're going to eventually get into that world as well, too, right?
Absolutely, am.
And I actually invited you back on the show because, I mean, and you're more than welcome to come back at any time and talk, because I love what you're doing outside of what you're doing as a regular business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's I'm very respectful of what you're trying to do. And yeah, I wanted to share that story with a bunch of people that listen to the show, because I think it's relevant to construction life. I think it's relevant to tradespeople, probably skewed heavily more towards men.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to segregate the women from the men in the industry. I'm just saying that I think a lot more men are going through this, not dismissing any of the women that might be going through it. But I wanted to share that conversation. I wanted to learn more about Ironclad and what you've been doing, the brotherhood and everything, and find out. And hopefully we can connect with, even if you connect with one person, man.
Hey, man, if I can change one man's life, then I've done my job, because you effectively changed generations after.
Yeah. Right?
Alcohol is such a problem. And it's not just men. It's women, too.
Yeah.
The only reason that it's men right now for us is you're best serving the person you used to be. And I know a lot of the issues that men go through. I just don't understand women's struggles, and one day we're gonna have a sisterhood or Ironclad Nation or whatever it turns out to be, but for right now we're really just trying to help men. That's it.
Focus on what you know and then get that out there, and I guarantee you that the women will follow as well too.
Yeah, I mean, we've already been successful, but once we can build this following and this group and really have a lot of success, then we can branch out from there. You know, it's not just that, you know, there's so much more to it than just alcohol too.
Let me share the information. Ironcladbrotherhood.com. You can find them on Facebook and also on IG under the same Ironclad Brotherhood. And who's on the team? Is it like, are you boots on, like you're just doing it yourself right now, or you got?
It's me and my business partner, Larry.
Okay.
I'm the face, I'm the strategy. He's behind the scenes. And then, we have right now, the Brotherhood's fairly small, and those guys, they've had amazing success. I hope that they come on and help coach.
I want to do a quick shout out to Tim. I'm wearing his hoodie today. RBC, thank you so much for the cap. I'll throw that on one day on a future show. I also want to let everybody know that a lot of people have been asking me that am I swinging the hammer anymore? And I'm like, yes and no. I'm doing a barn project right now. I'm involved. Am I swinging the hammer? No, I'm pretty much in the dirt, adjusting cameras and interviewing people on site and doing all that fiasco, because I don't think you have a lot of camera operators that know as much as the construction side of the business, which is really, I got a compliment today from one of the clients there. And he was just like, he was understanding the me poking the bear, so to speak, when I was talking to somebody was talking off camera, and I was like poking him, going, say this, because I know the process.
Yeah.
I know everything that's involved there. So it's like, I'm behind the camera and I'm watching this barn being built from the scratch, literally. And we're obviously starting with helical piles, and then we marked it out, and we had Steve from Timber Kits there, and it's all timber framing. And I'm excited about this shit, 'cause I'm going to be involved through the very end. We're going to have a little party. So anybody who's listening right now, and you're more than welcome to come and check it out. He's going to have it all fully chef, butcher, whatever, is going to be catered, and music and all kinds of shit, and I'm looking forward to that.
So as long as there's meat there,
there's going to be plenty there, of brother, meat. That's there. There's going to be a lot of meatheads too as well, but yeah, it'd be good. But yeah, I want to let everybody know about that, right? Because and it's not a, it ain't like a Ty Pennington move the bus kind of thing. It ain't, that shit doesn't happen in 7 days. Like, we're obviously giving ourselves 3.5 to 4 months to do this.
Yeah.
So as I unfold on site, I'm going to be unfolding on the show, and then I'll be unfolding on social media so people can pay attention and get to see Manny kind of swing the hammer, not swing the hammer anymore.
I love that it's timber frame too. You know, you don't see that enough anymore.
No.
You know, our original home build, we're building our house right now, and we wanted to do timber framed, but just didn't land in the budget. So
I saw the numbers. I understand why.
Yeah. But it's cool. It's true craftsmanship. Yes. And it's dying.
It is.
You know?
But it's funny with timber kits, it's all CNC.
Mm.
We're going to see that exposure. We're going to see how they do it, because they can't compete in today's world if they go hand carved.
Yeah.
So they're going CNC. They got a beautiful Italian machine.
Yeah.
And it's CNC'd, and it's like micro tight.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that shit. So enough of Made a Barn. That's the show. Made a Barn. That'll be coming out in January, and we'll deal with that. But I want to get right into Ironclad and how this all came about. When did it all start?
Yeah. So that's a bit of a story. I'll try and give you a high level, but I'm a tradesman. I was a motorcycle mechanic before I was an arborist. I worked for Harley Davidson, and you know, I was young and changed careers. Thank God. mine started when I was just before I turned 18. My cousin Tyler, he was my best friend, my brother. We lived together. We were the same age. We were cousins. Our dads are brothers. And he took his life. He took his life just before I was 18. He was 17 at the time. And that was the start of it for me. And I self-medicated, basically, with alcohol. You know, I don't remember last year high school. I don't remember a whole lot of that. And
Tyler give you any indication of what we...
He called me the night before.
But before that?
No.
You had no idea?
There was nothing.
He didn't speak to anybody?
Nobody. Nobody knew. Nobody had a clue.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, at that age, it was mostly over a girl. And, you know, there was other things to it. But, you know, it was devastating for me that he was my boy.
Who called you? Like your uncle?
So the night before he called me, and my sister, me and my sister, like super tight. She wanted to take me out to my first strip club, experience. Yeah. And Tyler called me and we were going to go, and then he canceled anyway. So I was hungover, the next morning, probably my first real hangover ever. And, my dad told me, and, he wasn't nice about it. It was pretty blunt, you know, and it was,
he didn't try to soften it.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Did he understand it, or did he?
Yeah. But, not really sure why. Doesn't matter. Anyways, so that I didn't really have any mentorship, right?
You didn't have anybody to speak to about it.
No. I didn't really have real leaders in my life. So,
school? There was nobody at school?
No, I didn't have any relationships with any teachers or anything.
They knew about it. I guess they would eventually in high school. I mean, we've had something similar when I was back in high school days. Yeah, there was somebody that took his life, and it got around the whole school system. Like everyone heard about it, but I didn't see many people even figuring out what to do next as a result of this.
Well, I was in the OYAP program, so I was spending a lot of my time at the college, at Niagara College. Yeah, it was actually automotive at the time.
Okay.
So I did the OEP program. So, and then it was like just for graduation. So it was like kind of near the end anyways. Honestly, I don't have much of a memory of it. Like I drank every night pretty well after that.
You're 18 years old?
Before I was 18, he died January 26th, 2003. My birthday's February 22nd. So month before I turned 18. Yeah. And then that summer was pretty well just party. Self-medicating. And then I moved out to Alberta after that to go to motorcycle school, Fairview College.
When did you, I'm assuming you finally confronted it at some point, not necessarily at that age, but later on in life.
Yeah. When I was 35.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So
it took you a while to confront it.
Yeah. So January 26th, he took his life, and I was basically, like most guys, didn't really sort through any of my issues. Passive aggressive, drank a lot. And then it was December 26th, 2020. My third child was born, my son. He was born in July. It was right, you know, COVID's crazy. Everybody's in this fucking frenzy of whatever. And I woke up one morning. Actually, it was Boxing Day, and hungover like every other day. And it was the cartoons. So I heard the cartoons, and I was frustrated and angry. I woke up angry.
So your kids were watching the cartoons?
Yeah. So I walk out in the living room, and my 5-year-old daughter is watching cartoons. Okay. You know, and I'm just about to say something, and then this overwhelming feeling comes over me, and then I look at this little girl, and I thought, you know, does she know the real me? Does she know who I am? I'm up in the morning before she's awake. I'm gone to work. I'm 8 to 15 beers deep by the time I get home. And then I drink a bottle of wine with dinner, right? Does she know who I am? And that paradigm shift right there was the start of it. I'm just like, I'm fucking done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to be a father. And And honestly, and then my son is a few months old, and then I'm thinking, if my son grew up to be who I am now, would I be happy? And the answer was no.
Of course not. Yeah.
I'm successful, but that doesn't make me a good person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I was a shitty dude. Mm. Right. Everybody thought like, oh, Ivan's got his shit together. He's this great guy. He's this great dad, but nobody knows really, you know? And I'm thinking like, am I actually doing my kids any good being here? You know, that thought crossed my mind. Like, what if I just wasn't here? What if I just, you know, left this world and my kids would be set?
So all of these questions started coming up in your head and you wanted to answer these questions.
Yeah. So that was it for me.
So not that long ago, 5 years.
Four years. Yeah, this December will be 4 years. Yeah.
How long were you married? How long have you been married now?
Rose and I have been together for, I think we're coming on 13 years now, 13 or 14 years.
But she was aware? She saw?
Oh, I put that girl through hell, man. I put her through absolute fucking hell. And Rose doesn't drink. She's an angel. Like, she's a super sweetheart. Total opposite of me.
You met her when, in your 20s?
Yeah, I was 26 and she was 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she already knew. 25,
maybe 19.
Yeah, she already knew about the past, the recent past at that time.
Yeah, so Rose is cousins to my oldest friend's wife. Okay. So it was actually a windstorm came through and I needed help. And so I asked my buddy Brandon to give me a hand. He's a carpenter. And just give me a hand on the side, cutting some trees, pulling trees off houses and shit. And she was living in the basement with our oldest, Haley. So Haley's not my daughter, or not my blood, but she's my daughter. Yeah. She just happened to be born before we met. And that's how we met. I was just kind of hanging out and, you know, the rest is history there. But Manny, once I decided that I wanted to drink, there was a huge issue because guys like us, you know, we want to push. We want to do things right. We want to be successful when we commit to something.
Yeah.
So the traditional programs that are out there, tried them. And I found myself feeling like I was in a victimhood culture. Okay. So go to this meeting and it would sit in a circle and it would come to me and it'd be like, you know, my name's Ivan. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'd already quit. So I hadn't drank for a couple weeks. And then I'm thinking, so if I'm 5 years in and I got to say this shit, well, this is just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So if you quit drinking, you're like, I'm not going to drink beer. I'm not going to drink beer. I'm not going to drink beer. All your subconscious hears is beer, 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 beer. Right.
You're prepping yourself for the next drink.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the people around me and I'm going, nobody here has real aspirations other than staying sober. And I'm like, well, what's next?
But that's not the objective.
For me? No.
For anybody at that point. Like if it's just that one purpose, that one goal, that's not
that's all I ever saw.
I know, but that's not right, right?
It wasn't for me. It didn't seem right.
If you went completely sober and not focused or not head on, like understand what's really going on,
yeah,
you still would have been outside of your own body, still living a life of a father, a husband, and a worker, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But there was still nothing that, the only thing that's different is that you haven't had a drink.
Yeah. So it's, I'm looking around my circle and I'm going, well, what's next? Like, what is this? Right. So it's, I'm being told that, my alcohol problem is a sickness. I'm like, no, it's a choice. I viewed it as a choice.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was a sickness. I thought it was a symptom of something else. And then I had to put, you know, admit that you're powerless to alcohol. Well, fuck that. I'm not powerless. I have the power. I literally have the power to make whatever choice I want. right? Freedom is a choice. And I needed to make that choice. So that program didn't work for me.
That was the first time you ever went to a program?
That was the first time I ever went.
Okay.
I tried a couple times, but again, I knew what I was going into and it never felt right. So I knew that I needed to build my own. So that's what I did. I built this process out on which I developed a set of core values. And then there was five things in my life that I was going to focus on. And I was going to use those core values to make decisions on those five things.
Okay.
And from there, I found purpose. And I realized that I never had a purpose before. You know, we think as men that, you know, it's getting a job and doing all this isn't being
checking
a dad,
the boxes,
right?
Yeah. I
get that's it. Permission to play.
Yeah.
Right. That's like somebody saying integrity is my core value. Well, I wouldn't do business with anybody who didn't have fucking integrity. So that's permission to play.
Yeah.
Right. So all of these things I had to do anyways. So I had to find real true purpose. And this one really dawned on me. So when we moved at our old house, I had a Great Pyrenees. Okay. You know what Great Pyrenees is?
A huge white dog, yeah. Massive white dog, beautiful dog.
So we had a half an acre in Jordan Station, beautiful okay. property, but okay. it was small. And I had a shop there and people were coming all the time. You know, we were having beers, shop doors were open. It's just like people in and out
social.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Jax was the dog's name. Never barked. I thought he was fucking broken. Okay. He didn't have a voice. He dug holes. He dug holes that you could put a small car in. Okay. And he chewed shoes and he was just this super destructive dog. Okay. Great dog, like great personality, but destructive. And then we moved to the property we're at now. We got 10 acres to the north of us is like 200 acres of nothing. Right. No people coming and going, not like it was. And there's coyotes, a lot of coyotes.
Okay.
And they're out all night. Within 3 days of moving there, I heard my dog bark for the first time. And then he wouldn't shut up. And then he stopped chewing shoes and he stopped digging holes. And then it fucking dawned on me, not until after I quit drinking, is that men, especially, we're no different than canines. If we don't have a purpose, we dig holes. We chew shoes. These show up in drinking alcohol, porn addictions, right? And as soon as he had purpose, he's a Pyrenees. They're bred to take care of thousands of acres.
Defend.
Yeah. And there was a threat now. Mm-hmm. As soon as he had purpose, he stopped digging himself into holes.
Hmm.
We're no different. Most men lack purpose. And when I found my purpose, it was easy through the structure that I had built. So fast forward February after drinking, and then I start learning the power of manifestation. Okay. So I heard this shit, visualization, these vision boards, all this. It's hard to buy into.
And then repeat, that kind of
mess. And then I started practicing it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, one thing after another just started to happen. So I became an active participant in improving these areas of my life and seeking these things out. And then it just started happening. Right. So I'm telling my subconscious consistently what to look for. And then it picks these things out automatically. It's your reticular activating system. And it allows you. So it's the same reason if you're driving down the road, you're seeing a million things at once, but your brain knows to pick out the cat that runs across the road.
Yeah.
Right. So it's picking these things up without you knowing. And then we find a new shop for a business and we move out of my backyard. And then we find all of these people to put in place. And just one thing happens after another. Last year, November 26th, 2023, my sister takes her life. Okay.
Yeah. I remember you mentioning.
Yeah. So this was the real test. So my sister was everything to me. It was just me and her growing up.
Younger sister?
Older.
Older sister.
Yeah. So she was 6 years old, sober through AA. She could never escape that mentality. She was always trapped, always had to, she was always, you know, I got to get to church or I got to do these things. I got to get to a meeting. And hey, listen, I'm not bashing AA. It has helped millions upon millions of people, but it's just not for everybody. And she called me the night before as well. And that was the last time I talked to her. And, you know, she told me that she was taking care of things, that she was going to get away from the man she was with and all of these things. And then I got a text message from her the next day saying, hey, brother, I just want to let you know I love you. And then got the news. I flew down to Texas the next day because she lived in Texas. My mom was down there. She spends the winters in Texas to be with my sister and summers here with us. Her husband, part of the reason she met her husband in AA, and he apparently found a love for methamphetamine. So my sister was no joke. She was an international welding engineer. She wrote the code for the pipeline welders.
Wow.
On the pipeline. Yeah. She was a nuclear physicist when she was in Canada.
Wow.
And so we get down there. He's MIA. He's a total complete wreck. Won't let us have access to anything. Just writes us off completely. So we have to get my sister's body from the morgue. He's first of kin. So we have to go through all this nightmare trying. So it's, my mom says to me one morning, so we're living in a hotel. I'm still up. I'm in the gym. I'm doing my shit. I get my mom, like, we got work to do. Let's go. She says to me, she goes, you know, if this happened 3 years ago, she goes, I would have lost both my children. And it was at that moment that I knew that what I had built was successful. I didn't go back to drinking. I kept doing my routine. I built this structure. I built mental toughness and mental resilience. And I knew right then that I needed to bring that to other men. And that's when I decided to start Ironclad Brotherhood. December 26th of 2023, I started Ironclad Brotherhood. January 26th, 2003 is when it started. December 26th, 2020 is when I quit drinking. November 26th, my sister took her life. And December 26th, 2023, I started Ironclad Brotherhood.
Is there ever a time when to start? Like, do you feel that you were late to start?
100%.
But do we not, like, what I'm trying to get with that question is, I think you get a lot of pressure, especially in today, for men in their 20s that are thinking that they have no purpose, they have no skills, they have no worth. And so they possibly are leaning towards taking their lives or getting onto alcohol or drugs or whatever, when you don't have to achieve all these things by a certain age. You don't have to get to this point by a certain age. There is no finish line, so to speak, at a certain age. You discover it when you need to discover it, no different than the way you discovered it.
It's a lack of leadership.
Around you in your own personal, professional life?
They don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
Are we afraid to ask people? Are we afraid to discuss this with people?
We have a huge lack of leadership in our society. In medieval times, you knew when you were a man. So from when you were born to the age of 8, you were under the care of your mother.
Yeah.
When you became 8, you were a page and you were put in the castle. You had to clean the quarters, do all of these things. When you became 12, you were a squire. And at 12, a squire was apprenticed to a knight. So you would, you know, fix his chainmail and you would get him
become
dressed.
Become a craftsperson.
Yeah, and then he would train you. Mm-hmm. And then at 16, you would be knighted. That's manhood. We don't have rituals anymore. We have a lack of leadership. We have a generation of men who are passive aggressive, don't know how to handle their own emotions. They're passing that on, if they're even fucking present. We're a fatherless nation.
Yeah.
And a lot of them that are there are just doing this, screen sucking, And they're not teaching their sons how to shoot guns. They're not teaching their sons how to defend themselves. They're not teaching their sons how to split wood, how to be a man. Masculinity is under attack, and no shit. I look around myself and I see half the men in society and I'm like, what the fuck are we living in right now? You know, and I was blind to it. I was blind to it for my entire life because I was part of it. And now that I'm out of that, you know, I can see from 3,000 feet. I'm not tangled in the weeds anymore, right? I can see all of these things just kind of happening in front of me, and it's all lack of leadership. These guys don't know what to do. They don't have the tools to do it. And that's what ICB is. We give men the tools that they need so that they can improve their lives and they can find a purpose.
Do you, like, I'm trying to figure out how, are these men afraid of failing trying to achieve?
100%. Fear is,
and
probably,
it's destroying everything.
Absolutely.
But did you not grow up, and I grew up this way as well too, like when we were younger, we jumped off roofs.
Yeah.
We didn't think, our second thought would have been something might break if we jump. The first thought was, what if we land? What if we make it? What if we do it? Yeah. Right? But the second thought was always the fear. But today it feels like, as a man, your first thought is the fear, which constricts you from actually achieving anything.
Yeah. And it's not the fear of getting hurt. It's the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, well, nobody's going to believe in me. Like, I'm going to tell everybody I'm going to quit drinking. Nobody's going to, well, no shit they're going to believe you. You've told them 500 fucking times that you're going to quit or you're going to do this, and you never followed through. Right? This is a choice. And listen, like, I don't care if anybody agrees with me or they don't. Here's the hard fact is nobody's coming to fucking save you.
Nothing.
It doesn't matter who's in charge. It doesn't matter if it's Trump or Harris. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to save you. And everybody thinks that they're a victim of their circumstance, right? You are where you deserve to be. You've done everything in your life to put you where you are.
Yeah.
Circumstance, it may not be your fault, but you're responsible for it. And until you're willing to take extreme ownership,
you've accepted it.
Right?
On face value, though, Ivan, if you think about it, when you look back on your life, in your 20s, you were studying automotive, you were tinkering with your hands, you're a gearhead, you're physically a man, and then you're starting a business, you have a wife, you're starting a family. On face value, you're a man. It's society's version of a man.
Yeah.
But you weren't.
I was passive aggressive, you know. I would, when nobody else was around, I was a different person. In here, I was a different person than what people saw me as.
Were you reluctant to, when you are hanging out with a bunch of men, or a bunch of people that are seeing who you are, your value or your worth, were you reluctant to leave that, to knowing that you were going to go into an emptiness by yourself at that point?
100%. Because I wanted to stay what, we are attracted to what we're familiar with.
You're feeding off of that.
I was familiar with that life. Yeah. And as soon as you step out of that, it's getting out of your comfort zone. You're unfamiliar. And so your first reaction is to self-sabotage so that you go back to where you're comfortable. Right? It's like a thermostat in your house. Okay? So the thermostat is set at 72. Okay? Now, as soon as you drop down to 68, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm falling behind. I better pick it up. And then you go up, you pass 72, and then now you're at 74, right? Now the heat's on. You're like, oh, okay, I did real good. I can take my foot off the gas, and then you drop back down. Well, nobody, I'm not going to say nobody. Men have a hard time when you get to 74 making that your new standard.
Keeping it.
Right? And continuously moving forward. So we get trapped. And hey, listen, it's hard. Like, nobody said it's simple, but it's not easy. Nobody said this shit is easy, and it's not supposed to be.
Would you want it to be easy? What are you going to learn if it's easy?
man, anytime something gets easy for me now, I up my game. Like right now. So after I quit drinking that April, I committed to the gym. So I have what I call non-negotiables now. Mm-hmm. And waking up at 4 a.m. was one of them. Mm-hmm. And going to the gym every day, 7 days a week, was another one, unless I'm sick. And I've been going since April of 2021. Okay. Now, November 1st, actually, so I'm what, day eight? Is it 7th or 8th?
It would be the 8th, right?
The 8th. So I'm on day 8 right now. So I'm doing 100 burpees a day for 100 days. And then after that, I'm going to add a burpee every single day until day 365. Okay? Because I was just getting too comfortable. So I pushed myself out of that comfort zone.
And your body gets too comfortable too.
And then I started doing it. I'm like, this is too fucking easy.
Yeah.
Right?
This was really difficult 100 days ago.
Yeah. So I skip. So I'm doing 30 double unders, consecutive double unders in between my sets of 10. And if I hit my feet, I have to start again. They have to be consecutive, right? So it's continuously putting yourself into an uncomfortable state. And nobody wants to do that.
No, they want comfort.
Yeah.
Life today is all about comfort.
We're the only creature on the planet that has ambition. Okay? Everything else is just get food.
It's survival.
Have sex. It's just survival.
Yeah.
We're the only ones that have ambition. We're the only ones that want to change the world and make things better or destroy it. Right? Most people just don't know how. Manny. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And it's a lack of leadership across the board. Doesn't matter what country you're in.
Are they afraid to just say, listen, this is what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a group of men that understand that we want to achieve certain things. We want to still be masculine without judgment. Are they just afraid that they might be speaking to the wrong person?
I don't even know that most men are afraid. It's just they don't really know where to go.
Where to begin.
Like, where, if you hadn't heard this podcast, it's like, where do you go? If the traditional programs aren't right for you, where do you go?
There is no direction.
Exactly, right? And as men, we have a tendency of living like islands.
Yep.
Right? We want to keep it to ourselves. We're not sure, like, if you say something, what are people going to think of you? And, like, that's one thing I love about Donald Trump. He doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks of him, right? I think everybody should have that.
Yeah.
And then that would give us the ability to, you know, come together in brotherhoods. Right. I'm a part of a group called Arete Syndicate, and Arete it's an entrepreneur group. They're all business owners and they're the most incredible people on the planet.
Yeah.
And Andy Frisella has been able to build this culture within that. And once I joined that and I saw what we're capable of doing, I realized that we just need to seek these men out. We need to get them,
find more of them,
show them what we can do and help them, give them the tools. You know, I met Andy, last April. So, after my sister passed, like I said, her husband wouldn't let us have anything. She was a car freak. She loved cars, and her baby is a 2012 Lotus Evora. So I was able to buy that off of her husband. We're not even going to go into why I had to buy it, but anyways.
Or where that money went?
It's all gone.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
She tried to leave everything to me.
That's
what I meant. And she didn't sign it, so it wasn't a legal document. So within months, everything she had was gone. Everything. I think he's actually remarried already.
Wow.
From last I heard. Anyways, he's a piece of shit. And so anyways, I was able to get this car. So my mom gets a hold of it. She gets where she stays is in Edinburgh, Texas. So she's right by the Mexico border. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how to get this car home. You can't import used Lotuses into Canada. So I just got to get it to Buffalo, store it there for a few years until it's 15 years old, considered a classic. Then I can import it. This whole thing. Anyways, it's a nightmare. Is this
a government Canada thing?
Lotus Canada thing.
Okay. All right.
So, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go down and I'm going to drive this car across the country from Mexico to Canada. And I'm going to just spend that time with her. Right. So I never had closure. turns out there is a Ben Newman event at First Form at Andy Frisella's place, and that's about midway point. So I sign up for this Ben Newman event. It was fucking meant to happen. Anyways, so 2 days from Texas to St. Louis, Missouri. I spent a day in St. Louis. One of my best buddies, Wes Ford, I met him through Arte. Meet up with him there. Got to meet him in person for the first time. It's always online. He's an Ironclad member now. And spent a day at First Form. And I walk into this place. So I'm in Andy's group. Andy literally was a huge part of saving. Like, he saved my life.
Yeah.
When I quit drinking, I listened to Real AF and the Ed Mylett show. Those were my two podcasts. And at the time, I didn't even know Arate Syndicate was a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Those are our two coaches. And so I'm at First Form, and there's Andy Frisella standing there in his cafeteria. And I don't get starstruck. I don't give a shit. Yeah. But this man changed my life. So I walked up to him. I said, shook his hand, didn't need a picture or anything. And I said, you saved my life. And his response was, no, motherfucker, you did that. And then it dawned on me. I'm going, I did. He just gave me the tools. This is exactly what I need to do for other guys. They just need the tools. That's it. It's just like any trade you're in. You're only as good as your tools.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're given a hand of fucking shit, what are you supposed to do with it? You only know as much as you know.
You'll try. You'll use it. You'll frustrate. Yeah.
And then I see these guys, they message me going, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You're changing a lot of lives. But then it's like they fall off and they haven't built the strategy.
They go back to the habits. They go back to the 74.
I'm like, man, all you're doing is you're taking a shot in the dark. You need strategy. Quitting drinking is only the first 15 days. That's it. And then we're on to the next thing. And the purpose behind that is so that our focus isn't alcohol. We ditch that and we fix the rest. On to the next. Once we improve that, on to the next. Once we improve all of it, we fucking up our game. Personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion. Now, if you want to talk about now with the election and everything, it's like I was one of those that was considered a conspiracy theorist. Okay? Considered. And then I see these guys, well, you got to rebel. You got to do this and that. And I'm going, you want to, you know, go against the man, but you're still drinking. You're still doing this. You're still doing that. You're just feeding into that. If you quit drinking, you get fit and jacked. You improve your relationships. You become good with yourself and you have actual aspirations and you fix everything in your life. You don't need any of that anymore. You can literally separate yourself from all of it. You don't need the medications because you're healthy. You don't eat the shit. You don't drink the alcohol, right? What do you do when as soon as you have a hangover? You take fucking Tylenol or aspirin. I haven't had a Tylenol since I quit drinking.
I got rid of all kinds of medications. I don't Advil, anything. I don't have none of that shit.
Yeah.
I got a headache, glass of water with salt.
Yeah.
It's just like there's different ways of doing things, but we're conditioned in a mindset, and that's where we were going. And I'm not saying you can cry about the elections all you want because they just recently happened, whatever. I personally am glad that Trump won.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going to be a better path down. That's as simple as that.
Listen, my faith, I got, I don't know, maybe 3,500 followers on Facebook or friends. I would say 95% of them are Americans.
Mm.
Okay. I go by watching them, and they're all entrepreneurs. Most of them are entrepreneurs. Okay. Now, what we hear in Canada, I think we're very misinformed, for one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about the guy. Okay. I think he speaks his mind, and I think that's great. I think everybody should speak his mind. I don't know enough of him to have to know whether or not he is better than somebody else. What I go by is I watch my friends down there, and I watch how successful they were when he was in power before. I see the struggles they're going through now, and I see how exciting. My mom sends me, she's in Texas. Just 5 minutes before I got on this podcast, she sends me a message saying, since Trump got in, my stocks are at $14,000. Okay. People are excited. They want to spend money again. They're excited that work is coming here, right? Their phones are ringing, and it's been 2 days. Okay. So I watch what those people are doing, and I watch how excited they are, and that makes my decision.
I agree with you. It's just the same way with me, where I didn't have any kind of conversation to start saying, if someone says to me, he's a sexist, he's a racist, he's a misogynist, he's all this shit. And I'm like, there is no proof other than your statement that you're verbally announcing right now.
Yeah.
You can't attach any kind of proof or fact associated with that. It's like you looking at me and calling me those same three titles, and there's no proof whatsoever that's actually attached to me and my character and my name. So you're just doing it because that's your go-to title to share,
yeah,
which is the wrong thing to do.
The people that I watch are needle movers.
Okay? Yeah.
My friends are needle movers. They're the ones that are supplying jobs. They're mostly all entrepreneurs.
Why do we build? Why do we build any business, or why do we build any structure? Why do we do it? It's accomplishments. We want to show, learn. There's a process behind all of that.
Yeah.
At first, we don't have the skills to achieve it. We learn those skills.
Yeah.
And what skills we don't have, we work with people that do have those skills, so we can work side by side with those people.
Yeah.
And then they can contribute. And now you both have achieved something.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, Ivan, who was the first brother? You started it, but then you have your partner. But who was the first person that you worked with, that you spoke with, that you kind of helped?
There wasn't one.
Okay.
There's a group of guys. And there's about, I'd say there's about somewhere between 30 and 40 in there, but there's about 10 or 15 that are committed.
Okay.
And those guys show up. We have calls every Wednesday night. Those guys show up, most of them religiously, like don't miss any. I said, my buddy Wes, especially, a couple guys here in Ontario, my buddy Mike, and these guys are there. They're helping. They didn't just get sober. They're staying sober. They're improving their lives, and they're helping us build this program. You know, they're a huge part of it, and we're going to release it soon. I'm hoping before the end of the year. But basically any week now we'll be hitting the public. Yeah. We'll be putting ads out, and the public and the program will be released. And these guys have been a huge part of it. You know, they've been on those calls. They've helped me build my coaching. They've allowed me to coach them even when they're already sober. Right. So it's been great. I've got my first paid coaching client from it. It's actually, that's more of a performance coaching.
Yeah.
It's a female.
Okay.
And she doesn't have a drinking problem. And I'm just giving her performance coaching and helping her improve her life. So there's more to it than just the alcohol portion.
Do you miss the drinking?
Not now.
Do any of the brothers miss the drinking?
No, because they're all, like I said, they're all consistently improving their life. Right. It's not this. We don't sit there and talk about alcohol at all. Like the odd time it comes up in like strategy on how are we going to mostly triggers. Right. What triggers come up and how can we fucking crush them?
Yeah.
And that the rest of it is all focused on just improving. So basically, when you become an Ironclad member, you have to commit to a set of core values, because that's what it's all about. Without those core values, the program's nothing. So we call it learn to build armor. So learn is our core values. It's leadership through action, evolve to greatness, accountability to oneself, resilience in the face of adversity, and no surrender. That's learn. And we use those core values to make decisions on the five pillars of armor. That's aspirations, revenue, muscle, oneness, and relationships. So by using our core values to make decisions on those five pillars of our life, it would be unreasonable to be not successful.
Yeah. It leads you on the right path.
Yeah. So what we do is weekly, daily, we have a journal. Larry and I created a journal, and it's part of the program. So daily, you rate your armor, where you're at on a scale of 1 to 5. And when one falls behind, you double down and you start focusing on that. If it's your relationships, it's where am I fucking up in this relationship? Or is it a toxic relationship that I need to get rid of?
No, that's personal, professional, family.
Any relationship.
Any relationship.
Anything in your life, right? So aspirations, we set real goals, like actual goals. Most people, Manny, they don't even know how to set goals.
No.
Okay, so if you want to get to, if you want to get somewhere, you need a roadmap, okay? But most people don't even have that destination. So they're just following this roadmap. How do you know where to turn on a roadmap if there's no city at the end of it, right? So people are just walking aimlessly through life, hoping that things are going to fall. You can't be an active participant in seeking out opportunity if you don't know what you want. For one,
yeah,
revenue. It's not just making money. It's how do you improve your work life? What do you want to be? Like, do you want to just swing a hammer your whole life? Or do you want to be the guy that trains the guys? Or do you want to be the guy that runs the show? Or do you want to be the owner of the business? Or do you want to be coaching other business owners? Or do you want to use that to become a fucking CEO? And I'm like, where do you want to be? And what do you have to do? What do you have to act like to be that? Are you the guy that's blaming other people for your shit?
Or are you taking yourself?
Yeah. It's like, I can't get a raise. Well, why can't you get a raise? Well, my boss doesn't appreciate. Then fucking go somewhere else. Right?
Find the appreciation elsewhere.
Yeah. Or why isn't he? Like, what are you doing? Look in the mirror. You know how many men are scared to look in the mirror? When I was drinking, I had to brush my teeth in the shower because I couldn't look in the mirror. It was that bad.
You didn't like what you saw?
No.
When you did see it?
I was 250 pounds.
What do you weigh now?
This morning I came in at 201. I'm best shape of my life. I turned 40 in February and I'm best shape of my life.
Good for you, man.
Right? So like I was saying, I don't know if this conversation was before. Did we talk about the burpees?
Yeah, we talked about the burpees, about your challenges.
Yeah. So, like, it's back to revenue. It's how are you acting and what are you doing to progress yourself through your career, right? Muscle is, listen, if you're not taking care of yourself, then you're not going to accomplish the things that you want. And that's just fact. It's what you put into your body, how you treat your body, what are you doing on a regular basis? Oneness is a big one. Oneness is faith, not religion. There's a big difference between the two. Traditional programs are religion. Faith is, do you believe that there's more than just you? More than just us. Whatever that is. Is it an energy? Is it God? Is it a spirit? I don't care what it is. But you have to believe that there's purpose. There's more than just us. It's confidence. It's your inner dialogue. Do you have a negative inner dialogue? Or do you have an inner critic or an inner advocate? Yeah. And do you know how to silence the inner critic and encourage the inner advocate? That's oneness. And then relationships, like I said, it's who in your life are you treating the best? Who in your life are you not treating well? And who in your life needs to go?
But also I'd add, how are you treating yourself to that?
That's oneness.
That's oneness.
That's oneness.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you, now, is this all even possible? Because I could only assume that some men that you speak with, it may not be an alcohol or a substance abusive thing. It could be a failure of a marriage. It could be a failure of revenue, of occupation, things like that.
Yeah.
That's gotten to the same point that you've gotten to
yeah.
at certain points in your life.
Absolutely.
Is it even possible? Because I know that, you know, like, listen, I respect Andy. I respect a bunch of guys that talk online about we're missing all this guidance. We're missing all this direction. We're missing all this masculinity. That's positivity.
Yeah.
It's not toxic, right? And they always advocate about no alcohol whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But is it possible not to be abusive with certain substances, right? Because, I mean, I see men get together on the basis of smoking a cigar and just talking shit about whether business is going well,
yeah.
family is going well, relationships are going well, and they require the cigar to have that conversation. People could look at it from the outside and go, well, the cigar is the problem. Mm-hmm. And it might or might not be. So I'm like, my question is it possible to still get in shape and have a drink? I'm not saying a drink every single day.
Yeah.
I'm saying that occasionally enjoy a glass of wine and occasionally enjoy a glass of spirit of some sort with a meal with amongst friends,
yeah.
you know, family and people that you respect and people that respect you. Is that a possibility still?
Listen, I don't know all of the answers. I don't know. This is not the end all be all. My question would be like, why do you need that? Like, why? What do we actually get out of it other than just numbing something or using it as a crutch or regardless, even if it's social, you're using it so you can loosen up. Like, why does it have to be that?
It's not that I'm using it as, okay, I'll try to give you an example. It's if I'm traveling and I'm visiting a place and then all of a sudden someone is hosting where I'm at
mm-hmm.
and they offer a beverage and it's not that I'm going to be consuming 5 of them, 10 of them, whatever to loosen up. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's more about I want to enjoy the pleasure of what this beverage is. It's alcoholic, but it could have been aged in a certain barrel. It could have been created in a certain country yeah. by a certain standard. And I'm like, the person saying, just do you taste this? Do you taste the aroma? Do you like yeah. to appreciate that?
Yeah. If that's truly what it is, then
it's a taste thing.
I'm not one to say. All I know is it's a poison.
Yeah.
Regardless, it doesn't matter. Any whatever way you want to look at it, alcohol's a poison.
Yeah.
And when you put it into your body, it's like no, it's not any different than any other poison. And like if you watch Andrew Huberman,
yeah.
the guy's he's a weapon.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of good research on alcohol, and there's zero benefit to it. Yeah. Like all of this stuff that we hear all the time, oh, there's benefits to it. It does worse in every case than it does better. So if it's for taste, maybe, but there's way cooler shit to taste, I think. Oh, right?
Food and everything.
Yeah. yeah. But hey, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that most use it as a crutch.
I agree with you 100%.
Right.
I've never been to the point. I've never been to the point where you've gotten to, or where a lot of other people that I've spoken to off mic that have shared. Right.
Yeah.
I've never gotten to the point where, like, right now in the back of my head, I'm going home and I'm thinking, yeah, I can't wait to have that beverage that has yeah. alcohol in it. I'm not at that point.
Yeah.
Like it's. I've got quite the collection because they've been given to me as gifts.
Yeah.
But I'm not. It's never been a crutch to me. I can't look at all these bottles and go, let me crack this open and try this out. Let me crack this open and try this out. Yeah. I'm not at that point. But also when I travel and I go visit friends or I'm invited to a dinner or sit down and someone's offering me a drink to try something, sure, I will try that one and that's it. And then I'll appreciate the taste and the culture and the history behind that.
Yeah.
That's it. But then yeah. I cut it off. It's the same thing. I can count probably on one hand this year how many cigars I've had.
Yeah.
Like I don't, and I think what I'm trying to get at is that anything that you are dependent on that is not good for you or your mind, you need to question.
Yeah. Hey, I love the chocolate covered blueberries. Those are like, I've got a bag in the fridge. Okay. So like, I'm not one to say. So
you're getting the benefits from the blueberry, but you're getting a little bit of chocolate.
Yeah.
On it.
Right. Yeah. Like I'm a carnivore. I pretty much just eat meat, but listen, you know, a vice is a vice.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, I also like Diet Cokes because I drink a lot of water, but sometimes I just like the taste of something other than water.
Yeah.
So yeah, in moderation, I don't know. I don't know the answer. But the moment that we let a vice affect our life,
that's when you know it's not
in any way.
Yeah.
Then you are not doing your duty as a man to be a better man.
I'd love to, and this might be a touchy subject, right? But it's pretty scary on what's happening regarding relationships. And I don't want to get into the whole world of, you know, heterosexual, homosexual relationships, whatever. I don't want to get into that. It's just other couples and what's going on and how there's more women. We've just crossed the mark now that there's going to be fewer women at a certain age with no children. And now you've got relationships where most men are not interested in even being married. And these are scary statistics, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously we're not reproducing.
Yeah.
But then also you've got a bunch of men that are scared shitless of being married because of losing financial everything that they've built.
Yep.
And then they're thrown into this, they possibly turn to the vices, they turn to the substance abuse.
Yep.
Because the marriage in their eyes has failed, but they never asked for this failure of this marriage. You know, they had a family, they started a life with a person, and then the person didn't like where that life was headed and they wanted more from it, and that man can't provide more for them.
Yeah.
So then they said, well, I want out, but now you need to pay for me leaving.
Yeah.
And now you're putting the man, you know, like we've heard these stories where you get a man that is paying for a home that someone else is living in, and they're living in a shitty basement apartment just to survive because they have to cover all their expenses. Yeah. Right. And a lot of these situations are happening.
It's a cultural issue. It's the same way that alcohol is so accepted.
Yeah.
It's like you hear the ads on the radio. I'm like, and even the strike, the LCBO strike, everyone's like, oh, well, it's the tax money. You think they need more fucking tax money? Like, really? Let entrepreneurs make some money off of it. If people are going to drink, then at least support small businesses.
Yeah.
You know, anyways, we're not going down that road, but listen,
men are facing more demons today than ever before.
100%. Our culture, it's all a cultural issue, and it needs to start with us. And here's the thing. All of these things, so you get divorced, you allow a judge, somebody you don't know, to make decisions on your behalfs. You pay these lawyers all this money to make these decisions about you, your life, and your children. Okay?
I'll never agree with it.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And it's become so normal, right? And alcohol has become so normal. It's up to us. It's up to us as men to fix ourselves, have aspirations, mm-hmm. fix our jobs, become leaders, right? Get fit and jacked and fucking healthy, you know, have confidence, oneness, faith, and have strong relationships so that we can lead other people by example. Mm-hmm. Leadership through action, not near enough for people are taking action. You know, and this group that I'm in, Arate, I'm telling you, these are weapons. Every person that is in that group is actively pursuing every opportunity they can find, and they're improving their lives. That's why I love it so much. We need more groups like this. We need more people like this who are willing to look in the mirror, who are willing to step up and lead, right? No matter what anybody thinks. That's integrity, is doing what you say or doing what is right, no matter the circumstance. I don't care who's going to troll you on the internet, who's going to call you a racist or whatever they want. I don't give a fuck. Here's the hard truth, is we need to step up as men. We need to lead through action. We need to evolve to greatness. We need to hold ourselves and each other accountable. We need to build resilience, and we can't fucking surrender. And those are our core values.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis. With every decision we make.
Do you see weed overtaking alcohol these days?
Yeah. Like, I don't smoke weed, so.
I don't. I never got into it.
You know, it's, all I know is there's more and more studies coming out all of the time saying it's not good. And that's all I know.
Well, it contributes to the same factors of you just filling a void that you don't really care about.
Exactly.
You're placing yourself in a comfort situation where you don't want to confront yourself in the mirror. So yeah. You're just using weed now instead of alcohol.
I have a good friend of mine, Kyle, and he's been involved in research on a medical side. So does it have medical benefits? 100% I believe it does. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know this and I support him, and he's an entrepreneur. But are most people using it for actual it helps my anxiety. Well, why are you anxious? Chances are you have anxiety because you know that you're not doing the things that you have to fucking do. Like that to me is most people's anxiety. Okay. Is your subconscious knows that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And same with depression. Is it actual clinical depression or is it just situational sadness?
Yeah.
Because chances are it's just situational sadness. You're upset the situation you've put yourself in. And like I said, it may not be your fault, but you're responsible for it.
You're accepting that.
And you're responsible how you react to it. You're responsible for everything.
How old is your son?
My son's 4 now.
How is the younger generation today?
The younger generation is a lot smarter than people fucking give them credit.
Okay.
Our staff being, having a tree service, being arborists, it's a young man's game.
Yes.
We have a lot of young guys on our staff, and girls, and they're weapons. They're absolutely weapons. I got this one kid on staff. His name's Presley. He's 17 years old. Okay. This guy, he's the most humble, honest kid I've ever met in my life. Does he have a bit of an ego? Absolutely. He's 17.
He's old.
Jacked. He's good looking. Girls chase him, right? And he's an arborist. He's got the coolest job on the planet, right? He climbs around with a chainsaw dinging off his hip. So does he have a little bit of an ego? Absolutely. But this kid, I'm telling you, everybody's like, I can't find good guys. Well, what kind of culture are you creating for them to have the opportunity?
Yeah.
Right. I hear so many business owners going, well, they don't want to work. Well, have you laid out specific expectations? Have you given them a clear career path that they can follow? Have you sat down with them and seen what their aspirations are, where they want to go? Do you even know who this person is? How can you say that they're not willing to work if you haven't sat down with them, given them direction, showed them, set a fucking standard? As simple as setting a standard for them, most people don't. It's like, go and do your job. Okay. Well, what's the standard? And then it's like, well, they're not doing this. Well, what you allow is what you endorse.
Yeah.
Right? So now you have leaders that you're calling leaders acting like assholes, and it's showing these guys, well, you've created that culture. Take responsibility as a business owner. It's no different than us as fathers. It's us as men in our community. We have to take ownership in everything that we do, and we have to create this culture, right? My circle is so small now. I love it.
It's only going to get smaller, though, as you get older.
No, it's growing. It's starting to grow. But it's growing
because of Ironclad, because of what you're trying to do.
Groups like Arte.
Yeah.
Groups like Ironclad. It's these, when you find people that are on the same path as you, your group will grow again. And this is a big part of when guys quit drinking, they're scared because they start losing their friends. Well, were they really your friends in the first place? Let me ask you, do you want to be surrounded with people that are like, oh yeah, man, it's good. Have a beer. No. You're okay. Or do you want to be around people that are going to call you out and be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Smarten up. Accountability. People don't like being held accountable. Personally, the people I want around me are the ones that call me out and then aren't scared of it, even if I don't like it. The leaders on our team, our operations manager, Peter, our one crew lead, Al, this guy will call me out in front of everyone. He doesn't give a shit. Those are the guys I want around me.
It needs to be heard.
Yeah. And then I course correct. I take that. I don't get upset. You know, I may not like it in the moment, but that's my problem, not theirs.
I want these guys and girls to understand that this isn't an overnight thing.
No, no.
And also, you're also never going to, listen, you could have your path. You could be religious. You can be, and when I say that, I'm not talking spirituality. I'm talking about you can be working out 7 days a week. You can be doing the eating right properly. You can be getting all that shit. But then all of a sudden, there might be a bad day. A bad weekend.
Yeah.
And it might throw you off what you are working on.
Yeah.
It's okay to be thrown off the horse once in a while, but as long as you just get back on it and keep moving forward, right?
100%. And that's like even with drinking. So in traditional programs, you count days.
Yeah.
And if you fail, you go back to day one. Let me ask you, if you start a marathon and you fall down halfway in the marathon, do you have to fucking get up, go to the finish or the start line and start over again?
You get up again, you continue running.
You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, you learn from what you did, you identify that so it doesn't happen again, and you keep fucking going.
Yeah.
Right? We don't count days. The only part of counting days in our program is the first 12 days, because that's our free trial. That's when you quit drinking. And then after that, it's on to the next thing. Let's go. Now it's time to fucking go. Now it's time to improve your life, do cool shit with cool people, actual cool shit. Not like hanging out in the bar and talking bullshit, playing pool. This is like succeeding in life. You know, one of my goals is I want to never have to worry about the price tag of a menu, anything I buy to feed myself or my family. I never want to look at the price tag again. That's one of my goals, right? And listen, it's just people, men don't want to take responsibility.
They'd rather just be on cruise control. There have been too many years of cruise control.
Sitting on the sidelines. They got to get in the game. They got to get in the game, you know?
That fear keeps on knocking on their fucking doors, and social media doesn't assist to it, right? They believe they...
It's all here, man.
I know it is, but you could totally...
It's the inner advocate and the inner critic.
What's the first lesson that I was taught when about riding motorcycles? Where you look is where you're going to go. 100%. You want to look in the ditch, you're going to end up in the ditch.
Yep. Yeah. It's your peripheral vision.
So if you're constantly listening to the naysayers, the people who actually, and we haven't even discussed, there is a percentage of people that want you to fail.
There's more people that want you to fail than that want you to succeed, even if they don't know it. Even if they don't know it. They half the time, so here's the thing. Most people are sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Most people are sincere. The problem is most people are sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't mean to, but they want you to succeed because they're not able to do the things that you do. They're portraying their insecurities on you without even knowing it. It's okay, man. You can have one beer. Have a beer with me. It's the end of the day. Just enjoy it. What the fuck do I want a beer? I'm going to go crush shit at home, right? My boy is waiting for me to ride his dirt bike. He's just sitting there, like, waiting for me to roll in. If I'm going to have a beer here with you, then I'm letting that boy down.
I'm missing, yeah.
Right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I spend way too much time on this fucking thing, right? I'm trying to build a following. I'm trying to get on there, responding to people. I get home at the end of the day, I've got like 60, 120 missed messages. I got to go through and sift through them all. Because I'm in bed by 9 o'clock, so I'm up at 4 a.m. to be in the gym for 4:30, right? So I'm not by any means perfect, but I'm continuously improving on it.
You're trying to navigate through the world.
Yeah.
That's all it is, right?
And here's the thing. Even when we rate our armor, if anyone hits a 5, that's just as bad as being a 1.
You compare it the same.
Yeah, because if you're at a 5 on your health and fitness, on your muscle... Okay, that means that you told me that you're as healthy as you can get.
Which is not true.
No. Up your game. Right? I'm in the best shape of my life, and I up my game too.
How many times you do something, Ivan, and all of a sudden you go, okay, listen, you wake up, and I'm like, I'm going to give it 25.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you pick whatever exercise you want to do. But for whatever reason, you start doing it and 15 in, you're like, wait a minute, I could do more than 25.
Yeah.
And then you get to 25 and you still have a little bit more.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you push yourself to 30, but then all of a sudden, wait a minute, I got one more, 31. Yeah. But you started at 25.
So I just did this recently. So the burpee challenge I'm doing is 100 burpees for 100 days. And then after that, I'm adding a burpee every day
to
day 365. And then I've been doing double unders because I skip. So I'm doing 30 double unders in between sets of 10. Now, I got to 30, and 30 double unders was really fucking hard. I remember when I couldn't do three.
Yeah.
And then I'm going, well, how far can I go? So now I'm on a mission to do 100 consecutive double unders. My last post was yesterday. I got to 82.
Holy shit.
82 double unders. And I'm gassed, man. Like, it's taking everything inside me. I'm ready to collapse after, right? But it's, like you said, I started at three. And then I'm going to do 30 in between. I can do more. How far can I push this? How far can I go? And I improve 1% every single day. That's it. And like you said, there's days where you don't want to do it, right? Those are the most important days to do it, for one. And you can't win every single day. But the point is stacking wins, okay? You want to stack wins. And they can be little wins, like little tiny wins.
The smallest ever.
They compile into a big win. Now, if you win more days in a week than you lose, then you win that week.
Yep.
And if you win more weeks out of a month than you lose, you win that month. If you win more months out of a year than you lose, then you win that year. And if you win more years, you win in life. But if you're not trying to stack wins and improve every single day, and that starts with cutting out the fucking alcohol. It's got to, you know, there's no way that we can perform and be who we are naturally if we're consuming alcohol every day.
How do you talk to the man? You know this, right? They're trying.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking trying.
Yeah.
They wake up 4:00. Nobody's there. It's quiet. They only have their thoughts.
Yeah.
They have their past behind them, yep. What they've lost, what's changed their lives, what their life has been given to them, or whatever. But then they get up and they do it.
Yep.
Then the next day, they wake up, 4:00, start again, have their thoughts, have the past. And then obviously there's going to be moments where they're going to look at themselves and they're going to go, what the fuck is the purpose behind this? Yep. I don't understand this. It's been Monday, same thing. Been Tuesday, same thing. Second week, third week, month. Same thing, same yeah. thing. What this do you tell that person?
Learn delayed gratification. That is a skill. If you can learn delayed gratification, you can fucking master anything in life. Anything. It doesn't matter. And this is what makes it so hard for the generation now coming up, right? My age and younger is we want instant gratification.
Yeah.
Everything you have, you want, is right here. You can get anything. You can drive down the road and get food. You don't have to hunt. You don't have to. Everything is readily available. It's so comfortable. We want instant gratification. If you can learn delayed gratification, then you can master anything in your life. That I'm certain of. It's like going to the gym. You can't go to the gym, do a few reps, and expect to be jacked. You have to put the time in. But at some point, you're going to be putting that time in and you're going to hate it and you're going to hate it and you get this discipline and it becomes a habit. And then all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you're like, holy fuck.
Change.
Like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
I don't know him. Right. And here's the thing is shitty things are going to happen. We live in seasons. Mm-hmm. We've always lived in seasons. Right? The weather changes. It's no different for us. You're going to have a winning season. You're going to have a losing season. I'm currently in a losing season. People look at me and they're like, oh, well, you're building your house. You got this successful business. Motherfucker, I'm dying inside. I lost my sister, the most important person in my life, not even a year ago. We're coming up to the 26th of this month.
Which is going to be a hard time.
My business has been in the red for 2 years because I've been working on building the foundation of our leadership team. Okay. And that's put us, we haven't made a profit, but we're building that leadership team. We're building that. Our overhead's crazy, but we can support 12 more crews based on that overhead. That won't change. Right. And that's the point, is you keep doing these things. When I hit a winning season, Manny, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be unreal. I'm going to blow shit up and I can't wait. Right. You're building your house. We can't afford, like, we're out of money now and we haven't even got to electrical. We can't insulate it this winter. Right. So it's all just face value. And you got to understand is people don't understand what you're going through. And this is why you need a brotherhood. This is why you need somewhere where you can go and be comfortable and tell people, hey man, I got this going on. Right. I'm not a huge fan of the word vulnerable. You know, it gets tossed around a lot, but like, if you talk about military or something, like, we're vulnerable, that means they can penetrate this wall. That's, yeah, it's a weakness. You can get the exact same thing out of humility and honesty. Humility. I don't know how to do this. I need help. That's not being weak.
Nope.
That's not vulnerable. That's humility. Honesty. Hey man, you know, I'm not doing so good. That's honesty. That's not humility. That doesn't make you weak. Right? So there's this huge misunderstanding that if we say what's going on or we say how we're feeling, then we're weak. And and everyone's like, oh, thank you for being vulnerable. Well, that doesn't, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't help the situation, right? Whether how you think about it or not, it's still saying that it's a weakness. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being humble, right?
Nobody ever looks at all the sacrifices that you fucking put on the table.
No.
They only look at when you do, if in their eyes, succeed.
And guess what? Nobody cares. Get used to it. Get used to it because it's all here. You know you succeeded.
There's only 1% truly cares. That's the way it should be,
right? I believe in God. Everything in my life, and this is another skill. So I never believed in God before until I lost my sister. And I saw it through, my sister was a physicist. I saw it through the number 26, right? Mm-hmm. Tyler died in 26.
Yeah.
I quit drinking on 26. She died in 26. I started Ironclad. There's way more to it. We'd both be fucking sitting here weeping if I told you like all of the shit that happened after she died. Mm. It's crazy. And I never believed this shit, but I can't deny it anymore. So one thing that's actually helped me is that I truly believe whatever happens in my life is happening for me and not to me. Okay. So I was under this impression my entire life, things happened to me. This person died. This happened, right? People are going to die. You're going to lose money. Shit's going to happen. If you can be an active participant in seeking out what the lesson is in or what the opportunity comes from it, then you can see that actually everything in your life happens for you. Yeah. My sister put a gun to her head and took her life. How could that possibly happen for me? Well, I started Ironclad Brotherhood and I'm going to change millions of lives around the world. I was able to improve the relationship with my wife, with my son, my daughters. Everything in my life happens for me. It doesn't matter how bad, how good. There's a lesson in every single thing that happens in your life. You just have to be willing to seek out what that is. What's the opportunity? What's the lesson here? What is God telling me? I'm not religious, but I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. There's no way I could deny it. Like, absolutely no way.
You had no belief before?
I had no belief before.
No, not spiritual, like there was nothing?
Nothing.
But too many things were
way connected. Too many, way too many. The day after my sister, I'm going to try and get through this one.
Yeah, yeah.
The day after my sister died, I flew down to Texas. the day after that, we get up and we're driving to her house to talk to, try and talk to her husband and his mother that's living there. Who's, anyways, I knew that my sister had put things in storage. Okay. She told me, she'd called me the day before. We hadn't talked in months because we weren't seeing eye to eye on something. And it's not that we weren't getting along. We just weren't kind of, right? Anyways, oh no, I called her the day before. She didn't call me. I called her. And
it was a few months since you've spoken to her.
Yeah, it was since October, actually. Okay. She hadn't been home. She never met my son. She came home. My one grandmother died August 26th, brought our family together, and my other grandmother turned 90, so both families together. My sister got to see both families, all of them. She got to meet my son, right, all before this, okay? We're down there. It's 2 days after. She told me, she's like, hey, I'm leaving Brian. I'm getting out, but he's been pawning all my stuff off to support his drug habit. This is the first I'm hearing about any of this. Okay. All our grandmothers, so she inherited all the jewelry in our family. It's all gone. He pawned it all off. We found, when we got the card, we found the pawn slip for their wedding rings. Okay. Anyways, she tells me I'm putting all of the stuff that means something to me in a storage unit. And I'm like, awesome. I'm super stoked that she's doing this. Nobody knows where this fucking storage unit is. Okay. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in Texas, but there's a U-Haul storage building on every fucking corner. I don't know what it is about people in the South, but they don't like keeping shit in their house. Okay. There's storage units everywhere. We're driving down the road and my mom's like, pull over. I'm like, why? She goes, just pull over. I'm like, okay. We pull over. It's in front of this U-Haul store. She's like, go in here. I'm like, mom.
Yeah. Like,
no, I was actually feeling sorry for her. Right. Okay. In that moment, I'm like, mom, like, just don't. She's like, just go in. I go in. The guy's like, I told him the story. He's like, does she drive a white Lotus? I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, she was just in here the other day. He's like, telling how incredible she was and all these things. So I'm like, okay. And he said, I had a feeling that she gave me a name for emergencies, but she was hesitant. And that was her husband. And I'm like, yeah. So I told him what was going on. He's like, all right, I can't let you into the storage unit, but if you had your own key, I can't say anything. So I'm like, all right. Nobody knows. Her husband doesn't know. Nobody knows about the storage unit but me and my mom, and actually my cousin too, but that doesn't matter. So we go to the house. It's torn up. Her purse is dumped out. They're looking for anything. I don't even know. The place is a disaster. They've rummaged through all of her shit. It's like, it's a disaster. Anyways, so I go in. They don't want us in the house. And so my sister loved her, like, she was in love with cars, boots. So I wanted her cowboy boots and her Ray-Bans. Okay. And that was like, she tried to leave me everything. I don't care. Those are the things that I wanted. So walk in, I get a pair of her boots, her nice ones, you know. Anyways, I see her Ray-Bans sitting. So I come in and there's a hallway. Her office to the right, torn to shit. There's stairs going up to the left. And then the living room straight and the kitchen's to the right. And then there's this breakfast bar kind of across there. And then the backyard behind that. I didn't want to look in there because I didn't want to see what was left from the incident. But I catch her Ray-Ban sitting on the breakfast bar. And all I can think, like, there's this overwhelming, like, I literally, my skin turned hot. You know when you get angry and you start to get hot? And then all I can think is, look, look, look. And I'm saying look over in my head. And her Ray-Bans are pointed on an angle like this. So I asked Brian's mom, I said, can I have my sister's sunglasses? And she's like, I don't care. Anyways. So I go over there, I grab them. And when you walk up to the glasses, you could see, and it was only at this angle, you could see there was a pile of bananas and a bowl with fruit in it. And right in between them underneath the bowl, there was a key sticking out, like just a part of the key, right? So I walked up to the Ray-Bans and I grabbed the Ray-Bans, I grabbed that key, put them in my pocket, and we leave. Now, my mom hates stealing, so I didn't want to say anything at first. And then I'm like, all right, let's go back to that storage unit, okay? So we go back to that storage unit. I walk in there. It slips right in the fucking lock. It's the key for the storage unit that was underneath those. So I told my mom and my stepdad about this. I'm like, she must have left those glasses there looking at that key so that somebody would pick it up. My stepdad's like, no, I put those though when I was there yesterday. He goes, I picked those up off of the counter and put those up there yesterday.
They were covering the key.
No, the bowl was covering the key, but the glasses were looking at it. And that's why it was look. Anyways, we get in the storage unit. There's all my sisters, because he wouldn't let us have anything. Nothing. Locked us out of everything.
She already moved everything into the storage room.
This is all of her, like, there was nothing of value. It's her report cards when she was a kid.
Her stuff. And he didn't have any access to this.
He didn't even know.
So it's the one last thing that your sister did.
Not knowing.
But then you find it by divine intervention.
How the fuck did my mom know it was that storage unit? The only one we stopped at. We didn't go looking.
Just by fluke, she just said stop.
She just said pull over here. Go in here.
But then to walk into the house and see the angle of the glasses.
The place was a disaster, Manny. Like, how do you see the keys?
How do you not question how right? that happened?
And then there was incident after incident after incident after that. That led me to believe that God exists. This shit's real. Whatever it is, whatever he is, it's real. My sister was able to bend, like, she was a physicist. She's sitting there fucking giggling, going, I figured it out, brother. You know what I mean? Like, real shit. I don't know if it was her, I don't know, but I cannot deny anymore that there is something greater than us guiding us through this life. And if you don't seek these things out and you don't take the opportunity, if I didn't grab that key, I took that opportunity. I know my mom hates stealing, right? I stole that key from their house.
How's your mom about it?
I got my sister's stuff.
How's your mom about it?
She's fine now.
Now she's fine.
Well, now that we found out that he's a piece of shit.
How long were they married for?
4 years. Yeah. I never met the guy in real life, in person. Never met him because they met just before COVID.
Got it.
I couldn't travel. She couldn't travel. When they got married, my parents went down for the wedding. I couldn't make it. Right? So it was like, yeah, everything's gone. Everything's gone. Except what we were able to find.
What's your plan with Ironclad? Like, what do you want to just keep on growing it, keep on making sure that you could speak to as many people as possible?
Manny, I told myself when I turned 40, I would spend the rest of my life speaking. Whether it's on podcasts with guys like you, on a stage, to 5 people, to 1 million people, I don't care. I want to change lives. My purpose is to change as many lives as I possibly can. And the avenue I'm taking is through alcohol, because that's what I know.
Yeah.
I was able to build a strategy that works. And I can deliver that to men across the world. I'm not limited to here.
No, you can go all over.
Yeah. It's not Ironclad is not a program. It's a movement. It's to build better leaders, better men, so we can start changing the culture. I'm not the only one with program like this. I don't know of many with alcohol as the content, but there's tons of guys out there that are building brotherhoods, that are building groups of men to create better men.
We need more of that.
Yeah, we do. We need more leaders, Manny. And it's up to
us. Now more than ever.
now more than ever. Like by far, masculinity is under attack. And for the most part, I can see why.
I can see why, but I also can see, if you asked me a year or two ago, I wouldn't have much faith in it. Mm-hmm. But I see today, and I think with the recent election, and hopefully our upcoming election, I think that more and more men are not afraid to speak their mind.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what you think. I'm sorry to say. It's just like, I think the moment, I've been doing this show for almost 7 years, dude.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for a long, long time, and I still have plans on doing it for a long, long more time, many more shows. But the moment that I early on just told myself, I don't give a shit if you don't like me, I'm not catering to you. Yeah. That's the beauty of this world. There's almost 8 billion of us out there. You don't have to like everybody.
And here's the thing, too. If somebody, especially on the political side, if somebody doesn't want to talk to you or be associated with you because of your political view, it shows more about their character than anything.
Yes, it does.
Right? I've got tons of people. I got people on my staff. They know that I like the man. They know that I love capitalism. Right? They don't see things the same way as me, and we hang out just fine.
We get along.
We work together. We get along. Right? And if I say something, they call me out. I don't like that. And I say, okay,
cool.
I respect that.
That's it. Simple. Right? All I needed you to do was speak up.
The fact that it's caused so much hate shows me that we were with the wrong leaders.
100%.
That's all.
Ivan, appreciate it, man, so much. Yeah. Anybody who's interested in reaching out to him, www.ironcladbrotherhood.com. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on IG under the same Ironclad Brotherhood. That's it, man. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for taking the time, brother. On a Friday afternoon. I'm sure you're busy, but it's always good to see you, bro.
Yeah.
And I love what you're doing. Seriously, I love what you're doing. And I know that you've had guys who've had some hard times and they've reached out to you and you've done the plunges in the fucking lakes.
Yeah.
You've done just, you like, I'll be there. You've done that. I'll just be there. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely.
Because you know what the alternative is.
Yeah.
You've
seen it twice in my life.
Yeah. So you don't want to see
that.
The
two most important people in my life I've lost. I don't want anybody to think that they need to self-delete because they don't have somewhere to go.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Right on. Thank you, Manny.
Thank you. We're out of here.